Welcome to the Influential Women Podcast, the podcast where we chat to inspiring women about their lives, their influences and mantras, which helps us think differently about our own lives. This is Nikki Bannerman, and my influential woman today is Renee Bird. Welcome. Hello, Renee.
Oh, hello, Nikki. How are you? It's so nice to finally meet you. We've been talking a lot, haven't we?
Where do we start? Yes, we'll talk about that with lockdown. It's very strange, isn't it? Now, Renee is a talented soul singer and songwriter with a powerful voice and lyrics that have touched listeners across the globe, performing at Elstree Film Studios and private London members clubs such as Annabelle's and prestigious fashion and art events worldwide for special VIP guests. I mean, wow, Renee, you've done it all, but does it feel madly behind you? How are you doing in lockdown? We had a quick chat at the beginning. How did you just describe it just now?
I said it's a matrix. It feels exactly like that. I'm not even sure anymore. You go out, you're dodging people, you're not getting close to people, you're not touching. It just feels like we're in another world, because we was in a world where we was moving along, getting on with stuff, connecting, networking, out, drinking. And now we're in a world where we're in restrictions. It feels like we're being controlled, but yet we're not. We're still ourselves, but there's a system behind us, and it's just crazy.
Oh, it's like we're a new self, isn't it? And all those old strategies we had to cheer ourselves up aren't working anymore, are they? So it's really strange that all we've got, and you're right, we're avoiding people. It's that disconnection. It's really troubling, isn't it? It's really troubling.
It's not natural for us as human beings not to have physical touch, not to be around people, not to just be community, you know, the community side of us we've lost. And I'm sure I'm not the only person. It can affect your mental health. It can affect your,
everybody.
In your own space, you're in your own thoughts all the time.
Definitely.
And you're processing information. So it's been a journey.
Oh, you're certainly not alone. In fact, I interviewed somebody who specializes in mental health recently. And I said, is it one in, you know, it's gone from 1 in 10 to 1 in 5, 1 in 3. And she said, no, it's 1 in 1 now. And you think, that's so true. I mean, it's awful, but it's also uplifting in that everybody feels something. So we can all help each other by just talking. And we are talking more, aren't we?
We are.
And where are you? You've been in the UK. Are you in London?
Yes, I'm in London. I was actually planning a trip literally before lockdown to Northern Carolina. I have a half based in Atlanta. So I would have been in the States. But as you know, shut down, borders
closed.
You're separated. We're separated, yeah.
Oh, no, because you're promoting UK and America as well. So you've been apart for a year, have you?
Well, we've seen each other last year, but since the lockdown that we've had, no, so Christmas, it's been
Oh,
awful.
My goodness, so you're on your own?
Yeah. Yes, I am.
I think it's
really tough.
I think it's really tough.
Well, it's really hard for people in relationships, obviously, and families as well, but it must be really hard on your own. I didn't realise that. Oh, but you have the power of music. Is that uplifting? Have you written a whole new album?
If I didn't have that, I don't know what I would do. If I didn't have that creativity that I'm able to home in on, I don't know what I've done. I'm being busier than I have been. In all fairness, I bubble with my family. So that's my bubble, you know, this bubble in the UK. So I've been able to spend time with them. But I've been very busy. It's funny, even though I am on my own, every day I've got a whole load of stuff I'm trying to do.
The talk show
that was launched in pandemic. So
I saw that. Yeah, tell us about that. It's called Who Am I Talk. Is that right? And it's which platform? Is it on YouTube or?
Yeah, so Instagram it started. So basically, just to pull back, last year, the year before last, 2019, I was working really hard on the campaign for my new single release. So we planned to release it in February. February the 10th, we released it. 23rd of March, COVID.
Oh my goodness.
And you can only imagine, we had a campaign. We had everything organized. The video cost money. I mean, and I remember when COVID hit, and I felt selfish because I didn't want to feel like I didn't care about COVID, but I had a project in place and I was devastated. It's like, okay, what do I do now? I can't be pushing this product on everyone where people don't know whether they're going to live or die or lose their jobs. I have to really be sensitive to the situation, which was only fair. And my brother, who is also part of my production company, Tesley, he's also an artist. He said, sis, you can chat anyone's head off. So let's think of something. Let's think of something you can do with your platform.
Yes.
And Who Am I? He came up with that ingenious name. Everyone has a story. And he goes, share that story and keep people inspired and just connect with people. And I did not know, like months later, the episodes I've interviewed public figures, celebrities, you name it, just connecting and just get them to tell their story, because everyone has one. All you see is the end result, but you don't see in between.
Exactly. And that's what, you know, that's what I'm doing here with this too. It's getting deeper, isn't it? And you've talked to Ralph Lauren and incredible, you know, brands. And
I spoke to Chris Collins, who was Ralph Lauren model. That's right. And he's now a luxury fragrance owner. And Patrick Hutchinson, he's the one who did loads of stuff when as a the activist for Black Lives Matter. Amazing. You know, spoke with Prince Harry. I mean, did you
speak with Prince Harry?
He did. Oh, I didn't. Oh, yeah, he did. Yeah. So all these things and people, you know, nutritionists, anyone that could help, yes, at that time, I was able to tap into.
Gosh, good.
So it's funny how something negative that happened, I managed to pivot it to make it work, and it's working.
Good for you. Because I was going to ask how you did that beautiful video where you literally looked like an angel in haute couture with ballerinas, like silhouettes, like James Bond. And I was thinking, how did you do that in lockdown? Because I know you said you released the single. Gosh, all that work, and that was so only a month before. Incredible. But your talk platform, you've amassed 800,000 followers already, so that's amazing.
I didn't expect. One of the greatest things that's happened being online is the fact that everyone was at home.
Yes.
So you was able to, the positive in this lockdown is you've connected with people that you would never have connected with.
Exactly.
Everyone was normally out and about, traveling on the plane.
Yes.
So I was able to really get the audience that I never would have got. Everyone speaks about this, and it's actually really evident.
They can't say they're busy, can they? They can't hide and say, I know you're not busy.
Yeah, even if they say, where are you? If you're in your mansion, if you're in your penthouse, if you're, yes, in your flat, you are available.
I know. It's so funny. Actually, did you see the Mick Jagger video that came out? But it was so funny because the lyrics, and you just think, normally he's actually in control of everything in his life and able to do whatever he likes and traveling and tours and it was sort of angry, funny lyrics, wasn't it? And I just thought, actually, that was summed up how we all feel, and great leveler. So it's been tough for all of us, and music, as you say, must have helped. Have you written anything new? I know you've got the most beautiful rhythm and blues, soul, pop, songstress voice. I love it. I want that voice. Have you written a new album?
Yes, well, the album I've actually got is in function. So I was obviously being in lockdown, you could be in the studio all the time, but I am grateful we have an in-house studio, which I'm bubbling with. But as I spoke to you before, I got COVID as well, which has not helped. I was sick for a long time. I'm doing okay, but I can still feel resonance of it. I've been singing, strengthening my voice, but it's not on par to what it was. So I'm trying to build it up. But I have a voice.
When
you can only imagine. I got it in February, early February, and literally it's only recently
this,
I started to
this
feel.
Year, or last year?
This year. Yeah. And my mum had it. So I was dodging it, and then somehow I got it. And everyone was scared. Like, how did you get it? You live on your own, but who knows? They got this variant, so I think it just got me.
Poor thing. And you think you've had long COVID? You've still suffering from it?
Yeah, I still have fatigue and just don't feel like I feel myself, and then sometimes I don't. I'm all out of sync. It's the best way to describe it.
Painful.
And I was speaking to a lady yesterday, and she gave me something, because I feel like I'm going crazy. People are telling me, oh no, you must be better now. But it's only when you speak to someone that's had it or having it.
Yes.
Or still got symptoms of it. Not that you're contagious, you're just not out of sync. But the virus is a deadly virus that attacks your body. So it's going to take a while for your body to just find the balance, you know? Gotcha. So I'm eating healthy, I'm exercising, I'm doing all the right things. So over time, it will disappear. And also, I've got the antibodies now, apparently.
Yes, you have. And have you had the vaccine as well now?
No, not as yet. So I'm give myself some time.
Yes, give some time.
I will do it.
Yes, give some time. Oh my goodness, I'm so sorry you went through that. And maybe if, you know, if it was February and we're in April now, maybe, you know, it's still very recent that hopefully you will feel so much stronger in the summer.
What I've been doing is really homing in on my well-being. It's funny, as an influencer, I also do pieces. I do lots of blogs and stuff. I've been helping lots of PR and brands to just keep going in this time. And well-being is everything right now. You know, I was healthy before I got COVID, so I was quite disappointed that I ended up contracting it. But this says it has. This virus doesn't care. It gets everybody. It's not like you can be sick, you can be healthy, it will grab you, because people have been like marathon runners and got COVID.
So sorry.
But what I've realized is well-being, health, is everything. It means nothing without it.
So true. I mean, I've thought that, you know, as well, you know, with this platform for several years, but it's never been more important because you're right. Without it, we have nothing, do we? It's the number one thing. And yes, my daughter got it as well. And thankfully she was okay, but it did take quite a long time. So but yes, thank you for sharing that because we do talk about adversity on this podcast and what people have thrived and survived from. And you are one of our big survivors and, you know, to thank goodness you're okay. And I hope your voice is because that's, you know, your gift for the world as well, isn't it? My goodness. So obviously you've been doing a lot of things that are life changing, you know, while you've been there. But music, as we say, brings the ability to connect people, which is what we're so missing. And seeing what they've done on TV to bring music into people's homes has really cheered everyone up, hasn't it? And I read this morning Financial Times saying that actually music has been more downloaded than ever, streaming wise, and obviously podcasts. So people are turning to music to lift themselves up. Have you been doing any online performances and concerts for people?
I haven't. It's funny. I was contacted, but it didn't come to fruition. But that is something I'm going to do once I get myself. Even if we do open up, I don't think online will ever change. I do believe there's going to be a big transition between getting everything back to normal, whatever that looks like. Or if we are ever going to be back to normal is another question. We just don't know, do we?
And you could do some and some, couldn't you? You could do some, you know, live in the UK and America and maybe some virtual ones for these parties around the world.
That's correct, because the fact is the audience, my fan base is everywhere and they won't be able to fly over to London or fly over. So you actually get a better reach when you do it online because you can tap into everybody.
Bless you. So your background was corporate though, wasn't it? Was it finance? Well, so you completely pivoted.
Completely pivoted. So money, the music industry costs money to record, to do music videos, to do photo shoots. People don't realise unless you're signed to a major, and even then they cost you because you've got to pay royalties back, but that's another conversation. But as an independent, it comes from somewhere. So I realised very quickly that I needed good money. So having a corporate background, legal and compliance, having all those things, was able to funnel the money into my music industry. I used to get caught out quite a lot because any of the karaoke nights, I remember they used to sit there and go, hold on a minute, she's done Mariah Carey just a little bit too good. And then they started to realise that was my thing. So it was crazy. I would do performances and I still dibble and dabble because, you know, it's been very quiet in the music industry. So I can still go back and forth as I can to earn some money in between my
good
gifted.
For you. Yes.
Yeah, because you've got to be multifaceted. A lot of the time they would laugh. So I would literally sometimes be working, have a meeting or whatever, because I was quite senior. And then I'll get ready in one of the, you know, the changing rooms, and then I'll be going off to do a show. Okay. So that's literally, it was literally boardroom to stage. I'd literally leave and go into a performance.
How amazing. Your secret life. So where did it all begin? Talent contests when you were very young. Is that right?
Yeah, I used to, in my totality in London, they used to have loads of like inter-college. So certain colleges would be represented and I'd represented a college. And literally the same college inter same competition birthed, you know, David Benningfield, Natasha Benningfield. So it was the same kind of circuit. I was much younger at the time. And competition is good because it teaches you that you can win or you might not. Because what we have to be very careful of in this industry, it teaches you resilience because sometimes the winner is not always the one that succeeds and vice versa.
Yes, true.
And if you are a winner, then what pushes you to then move forward? What I realised very quickly is competition teaches you resilience. You're going to get criticised in this industry. I mean, my goodness, they're awful. Mm. But it was good to be up against people to see that you can get better. It makes you grow. So that was good fun.
And you were so young and you joined a band as a backing vocalist at 14, was it?
Yes, very young. I've always had quite a mature voice. And at the time, I don't think they knew what to do with me because my voice was bigger than my little face. It's like, where's this voice coming from? She doesn't suit. I'll give you an example. They used to call it showcases and they do it now, which is an equivalent of X Factor. But back then they used to do it in an event. And actually, I remember at the event, you had Simon Cowell in his early years and also Sunita, all of them were around. And I remember sitting there with a mic doing a ballad and no one, they were like, is it recording or is it a voice? Because it didn't match. His voice was coming out. But then they were like, okay, she's miming. So I remember those moments were very different. But
so you've always had this amazing gift, and you even took the microphone as a child at a big concert venue you were at, didn't you? One of your moments.
When I was very young, my dad was in the music industry, so I was always at all the different events, and I'd be in some of the TV studios just watching them doing live sets and stuff. But this particular day, there was a massive festivals, and I'm praying that we get them back again, because festivals, there's nothing better than it. And it was a massive festival, and my dad said to me, you can be here, and I know you want to take it all in, but you don't move from that speaker. So I used to sit on the little speaker on the side stage.
Oh, brilliant.
And I would be just in awe. So you'd be watching Sting perform, and Tracy Chapman, and Sade. I mean, thinking back as a kid,
amazing.
Can you imagine sitting there watching them doing their, and you hear the scream of the crowd?
No.
Anyway, I couldn't cope, obviously. And they have a part where they do an intermission where they change the band over, but normally sometimes a band's playing. I got up, ran onto stage, grabbed the mic and started serenading and stuff, and they were singing back with me. It was the most amazing thing.
And
I remember, must have been about 6 or 7 or something.
No.
Very young. My dad said he heard this voice, and he goes, oh my god, he knew it was me, because a little voice, you know, singing whatever I was singing at the time. And I knew at that time very quickly it was going to be definitely my calling.
It must have been for a gift from Tiny, and it's in the blood and in the family. You've hosted live performances at fashion charity events. You've hosted events for Lady Gaga's designer and the Prime Minister of Lithuania. Wow. Yeah. Are you missing all that? You must be.
Yeah, well, you know what happened? They literally contacted, they must have seen a performance that I had on YouTube, and then we got a call, and literally quick as it happened, they called us down, sent us over, a whole gang of us, the entourage, and went over there, and it was a massive gallery opening with the mayor and loads of delegates and people in public officials. It was amazing.
How nice to be spotted and say, we want you at our party. That's so cool. That'll be the future. Now, you've got gospel singing training. I love gospel singing. And actually, I was in a local UK gospel choir, and there's a really strange story I'm going to tell you in a minute. But you were doing gospel choirs from a very early age, weren't you?
Yeah, so basically, when I say choir, I come from a gospel background. So my uncle, so just pivoting back a bit, my grandfather was a man of cloth. He had a church in Islington, the firstborn living God. Then my uncle, who is now Bishop John Francis, who is a massive, he owns about 5 churches in London. He's one of the biggest over here in the Caribbean community. So he will have people around him like T.D. Jakes and Michelle Williams from Destiny's Child. I mean, they'll be in the church. That's the kind of setup.
Amazing.
So growing up, I've always heard music. I've always listened to choirs. So they were training me in the background, whether I liked it or not. And then when it comes to voices, I've heard the best voices in the world. Because being in gospel, their voices are incredible. And what they do with their voices is incredible.
Definitely, definitely. You know, and I know you've said it's a third generation West Indian religious and musical background, isn't it? As you say, your father was a music producer. Your uncle's a gospel singer. You grew up with it. You were at the side of the concerts. You know, you just had to be doing it, didn't it? My goodness. But there was a really weird coincidence that I'm going to share here. I was researching yesterday that you'd said your cousin is Howard Francis. And I thought, that name rings a bell. I thought, and I looked him up and I thought, that is the guy who taught the gospel singing that the choir that I used to belong to.
Really?
Yes.
Howard, that's amazing.
Yes.
And his wife, he was part of the big sing?
Yeah, yeah. So that was so weird. I've even been to his house and saw his new baby with Gemma once. So I just thought, I can't believe that this is actually such a weird coincidence. I was looking it up. So
Howard is also instrumental, did the production for my single Born Again. He's behind that too.
Well, he knows.
So when I say family,
he works with Ellie Goulding and Will Young and tours around the world.
He is so talented. He is,
and I've seen him perform so many times. I love his voice. And in fact, I was looking online, you know, Bishop John Francis, you said you're related to the CD. And you know, the sellout stadiums that he's got in terms of, you know, obviously the powerful singing voice is so beautiful. He sounded like George Benson, if that's not an insult to him. It's just, and he got people dancing. Really beautiful. And he's sung for, you know, HRH, Majesty the Queen at the Royal Variety Show and been on Channel 4. So you've got an incredible, you know, it's in your roots, isn't it? How brilliant. So they were obviously your male inspiration. Have you got a strong woman who's been your inspiration?
Oh, it's funny. My biggest inspiration, and she's no longer here, which I'm really sad, when it comes to training my voice and my high octaves, is Whitney Houston. That's who I used to listen. I used to literally just regurgitate. Her and Cece Winans are the people that I used to listen to and I still continue to. If I need to, like, as this moment, I'm warming up my voice. Yeah. I am actually learning I Love the Lord. I love the Lord, that Lord. That's what I'm using to warm my voice up. Her voice, it's just like from an angel, is the best way to describe it.
So is yours, girl. So is yours. So you've said you've used your experiences of observing others for your lyrics and your songwriting. How do you do? Do you support friends and things they say, or you sit in cafes when you're allowed to and you watch people interact? How do you sort of feel your lyrics and the experiences for writing?
A lot of it came from heartache. Like, I can tell you, I was in my 30s, from my 20s to my 30s, in a long relationship. We were friends, we grew together, and we split. And everyone listening, any breakup it's got to be the most painful thing on the earth. It feels like someone's died, but they're still alive. It's the mourning. And you do one or two things with that. And I remember even the night of our breakup, because when someone wants a break, you have to be really careful that a break doesn't mean actually they don't want to be with you anymore. And normally that's what happens if the love isn't strong, but that's another story. And we ended up breaking up, and I remember how it made me feel. My life literally just fallen apart at that night. And I was studying at the time for a corporate finance exam, so that's all a bit odd. But I remember thinking, I need to get through the exam, number one, and I need to try and find what I'm going to do next emotionally. And that's had a lot to do with the single and things that I have in my album, More Than Words. I can say is about love of the most beautiful, the most endearing kind. So your own experience is the most powerful. But then I watch and listen to my girlfriends and things that they go through, highs and lows, and it enables me to think of a story. Because a song is a story of a hook, is the best way to describe it. And I was able to be able to listen and empathize and just see if there's an ending, which is a good one. So even the songs on the album, it's either inspirational or it's going to have a good ending. Or even if it is painful, someone saves you, because you want to be saved. So listening to my friends and talking to them, I've always been trying to help and inspire them. So it's all around you. I mean, what's been going on with the COVID-19, and you see these stories, I listen to it and I think, well, that's a song.
Yes, definitely. I think people are listening to lyrics more, aren't they? They're much more profound, and you realise where they've come from. And as you say, heartache, everyone has been through some form of grief, you know, loss, pain. That heartache is really physical, and really that music really uplifts them. And I'm sorry you went through that, but your Born Again track, you know, the old Billy Preston and Sarita original as a cover, is just so beautiful and so poignant now, isn't it? Definitely new beginnings that we all need.
And it's funny, I was devastated when it didn't hit, and it's done very well, actually. I'm not even going to lie. It's been played all around the world, in America and everything. I get the report. But it's funny, timing is everything. So I did it the best I could the year before, but actually now more than ever, it's more relevant,
isn't it?
It's interesting. So I have got like certain radio stations, people plug in it, but everything is timing. And I think you just got to create something from the heart. I didn't write the song, but the performance is me. But the original song was a ballad, which I have a version of that too. And when I do a set, I normally do an acoustic set. But I wanted to do something which was upbeat and more.
Yes, it is more dancey.
Beautiful, yeah. People thought it was my song. They thought it was my song.
And I thought it was your song as well. Sounds familiar. Why is it? Yes, I thought it was your song. It should be your song.
It is now. And you deserve praise because, as The Guardian says, praise in your own right as a singer-songwriter. Your voice is passionate and mature, and your words are heartfelt. There you are. So bless you. So do you want to share any of... We won't sing anything today, and you've talked about your adversity. No, that's... You must treasure that voice. But tell us about any other passions. So music... How do you spend any other time off? Do you play any other instruments or any other hobbies?
You know what I'm really excited about at the moment is law of attraction, manifestations. It's really big for me at the moment. And I say this because I realize my life has actually been through speaking out manifestation, speaking out life into your life. And I didn't realize it until someone tells me. There's always somebody you speak to about what you want to do. And then they tell you you've done it. And I've looked across over the last few years in my career, and a lot of things that I say I'm going to do has happened.
Yeah.
So I started to realize very quickly that your energy, the positivity that you put out, the mantras that you speak into your life actually will happen if you believe it. And you
definitely no, I agree. And it sounds weird, but if you know, a lot of that is very poignant as well now, isn't it, in terms of yes, you're manifesting what you want to happen, because we are in charge of our own lives and we can change whatever we want to be and whatever we want to do. And a lot of people don't, if they don't believe that, that doesn't happen. But as you say, that timing, or you know, us chatting or whatever, that people come into your life for a reason, don't they? I love that expression. They come into your life for a reason, a season, or a lifetime. I love that. Oh, put that in a song. I'll do a backing track for you.
Definitely. Everything that you do, you can change it in a millisecond. And people don't realize how powerful it is. You have to embrace life. And I know it's easy for me to say, people go, oh, Renee, would you know? Everyone's had different journeys. Everyone's
yes,
different.
I can't believe you said that, because that is my mantra, embrace life. When people have asked me one and people have said, oh, I haven't heard that before. And then you've just said that.
Think about it. In this season, so sad, people have lost their lives. We know that. It's been heart-wrenching to hear the stories. If you are still here, and even if it wasn't, and what I mean by that, even if it wasn't pandemic, what are you doing in your life that's going to make you happy first and then change something or embrace something?
Or do
why are you here?
Yes.
Why are you here? And I really believe people are really thinking about that now. I think that's yes. What's happened. People are in a shift and are like, okay, I haven't got love. I need to find love. That's what's happened. I'm not in the job I want to be in. Let me change it. Things have happened. And sometimes the fact that they're not in that job or they've lost that job, it's given them opportunity to do what they love. Because
exactly.
One of the things is I'm really strong about is your passion that you love, your yes. bliss, is what leads you to your purpose.
Yes, so
a lot of people do things just because they got to pay the bills. And I'm one of those people as well. You do whatever you need to do sometimes yes. to make things.
Your heart
leads to an end.
I'm the same. You've got to do, you know, and actually it's not even about money. It's about doing a passion, and the money will come because you're doing what you love or what you're good at or what you're meant to be doing, aren't you? So
that's correct. So everyone on this earth is here for a reason.
Yes,
and they've got to find what that is, but they will find it normally because of something that makes them really excited. And it might be something that they don't even think that's what it is, but it is. It is something that really...
I know, I even say that. I've got teenagers, actually. I even say that to them. I say it's something that gives you that fire in your belly, because there's things that it is. It's like switching a light on in you, isn't it? It's something you do, whether you earn £1 million or zero, because it matters. Exactly. And you do some amazing, beautiful things. You are involved with Teens Unite, the charity founded by Karen Millen, and an ambassador for the Nelson Mandela Children's Fund. And you were at the premiere with the lovely Idris Elba, weren't you? Lucky you. I hope you were standing next to him. And then the news came out about Nelson Mandela. Was that right? That literally what at the premiere?
It was at the end of the premiere. The end of the premiere. We just finished watching the heartfelt adaptation of his life. And what normally happens, you have a director's cut where they come and talk about and they go on the stage at a premiere. And they just said, we've got a really sad announcement. Mr. Mandela's passed away.
No.
And you could only imagine. Everyone was crying. There was screams. There was, like, obviously in the African community, they do a certain, like, chanting and stuff. And I remember looking at my brothers, because my brother's with me at the time, like, you are kidding me. And it just changed the mood, but not in a negative. It was almost like a reflective
very
mood.
Very profound. But the
very
timing.
Profound.
That was yeah. incredible.
It was incredible.
Almost, so he'd given his gift of
yeah.
his, everyone, hadn't
yeah.
he? In terms of
yeah.
what he needed.
And then obviously leaving the premiere, and you had all the press outside, and I got called a few times. I got called to CNN, I think, at the time. I was just in a daze with all the people walking, all the celebrities, thinking, okay, what do we do next? We're supposed to go to a party, but that was cancelled. And my dear friend, who's also director for the charity, Kathy Scott, she had to be whisked away to work out what to do, because obviously it's a charity. Yeah. They got to put an announcement face. And then basically it was that, yeah, so I spoke to her that night, and she's like, oh, I've got to go on to, I think it was equivalent of Good Morning at the time. And then the next morning, got a call from Sky. I was like, can I go up on Sky and speak? She goes, yep, go and represent. So literally the next morning, I was on Sky News talking about the charity, the film, and him. And I didn't even know. And it's so funny. And that's about massive manifestation, right? That the night before, I was talking with my brother. And I said, Tez, James, I've got to get on to TV someday. I'm doing loads of stuff. I need to do some more TV stuff. It was like, sis, you're right. The next morning, I'm on Sky. But I wasn't on Sky for me. I was on Sky representing something else around me. I'm a strong believer your real gifting comes via something else that is above you and beyond you, your representation. You've got to be really careful about it's me, me, me. It can't be. You're the face of it, but you're representing or you're encouraging or inspiring or sharing. Yeah. I was on Sky, which was broadcast all over the world, talking about Mr. Mandela. Amazing. I mean, I just...
Yeah, amazing.
What a moment. And your brother sounds amazing. I love him. He seems to come in at every perfect opportunity in your life to give you that little nudge, doesn't he? And that encouragement. Bless him. So I read a quote that said, you have a soft spot for children as they are our future. And too many dreams are never followed due to circumstances, lack of opportunity, lack of encouragement, stability and guidance, which is a beautiful thing. And is that why you got involved in helping children?
Definitely. I don't have children and I'm on a journey to have that very soon. Very soon, all being well. I have a soft spot. Love them. They're the most beautiful things. And I know parents are going, oh, you can have mine.
Especially in lockdown.
I know in lockdown. I've seen the videos. There's something very innocent. I believe you see an angel for a child. I think they're very innocent. They're very unfiltered. You get the truth.
I like
the
way
about it.
You get the truth. Innocent before they change.
They're so innocent.
They say what they mean, don't they?
They say what they mean and they answer. And I think that's the most beautiful things. And I think if they're given the opportunity, the right surroundings, the right environment, they grow to a place where you can't imagine. That your childhood is everything that frames you to be who you want to be.
Yeah, definitely. And you want to help the government to get mentors for children. How have you been doing with that?
I'm working with some mentees or I'm mentoring, but I really have to be more intentional myself about working alongside the government organisations. I think I need to, myself, I'm trying to divide the time that I have because I've got so many things I'm doing. What I am making sure I'm even more intentional about is letting them know I'm available for young people.
Oh gosh, I'm sure they'd love to, you know, through your local MP or whatever, because, you know, you've got that journey and that drive to do that and to help. I'm sure they'd welcome it.
You know, I've come from humble beginnings. My family are very esteemed, but I didn't, everything that I've done, I've had to work for. The fact that I didn't end up being as a woman of colour sitting in a boardroom, that happened because I worked for it. And I maybe wouldn't have seen that from where I was, but I knew there was so much more in me. So I don't want people to be a victim of their circumstance. Everything is available to you if you know the path to do it.
Definitely.
And the way you conduct yourself and how to do it.
Definitely. And you're a great role model for that, Renee, you know, in terms of for other women and for helping them know that we can be whatever we want to be, can't we? So do you have a mantra for living your life? We've talked about a few mottos, but you've got some lovely words and things, the way you believe.
I've got a few things, actually. I'm saying if you don't ask, you won't get. So what I mean by that, I'm not a taker, I'm more of a giver. Actually, I give a lot of things. I think it's important to, if you have something you can give people, give it to them, and it doesn't have to mean it comes back to you. But I have this thing about, we're very scared, we have a lot of fear that drives us. We get scared before we even tried. As long as you do things with respect and integrity is really important to me. If you don't ask somebody, how do you know if you won't get it? And after things I've asked and said, do you know if I could, or do you think, or maybe we could, and they're like, yeah, of course, Renee. Oh. And that could have changed my life. Or another thing, there's a thing where you leave such a legacy or an impression on somebody, they will speak about you without you being there. And you'd be like, what do you mean by that? I mean that to even be on your platform today is because somebody, and I will mention her and I love her to bits, Hannah, mentioned me to somebody else called Mary, who then mentioned me to Amy, who then mentioned me and put me on the platform. And that's why I'm with you right now. So people will speak about you without actually realizing they could change your life or give you an opportunity that you didn't even see coming.
Yes. And we're both on that Femme Foundry platform in terms of helping women and being role models and both leaders to help inspire and share and, you know, reach out to other women, aren't we? So that's how we met, which is brilliant. So it's all full circle. Exactly. And women helping women is brilliant, isn't it? Lastly, what wisdom would you say to uplift or influence women or men? Because we have actually about a quarter of our listeners are men. So what would you say lastly to uplift them, especially out of lockdown as we come out?
I would say to them, be encouraged. Know that you're very special. I think people are very bad at making ourselves feel good or acknowledging our good points. We're not good at taking compliments as well. It's really bad, but because it feels like it's conceitedness, and it's not. You've got to love yourself before anyone can love you. So I want you to be encouraged that this little blip we've had is gonna, life is gonna get better. Connect with people is one of the best things you can ever do. People help people. People grow with people. Look within yourself and decipher what you really want to do. I feel really powerful about people doing their purpose. You've got to feel fulfilled in life. So out of this lockdown, you really say, what is it I want to do? And go for it. And do not stop because you can't get this time back. And we had a time for a year that we was literally stuck at home, and we would have grown in that time, whatever that looks like.
We will.
So I encourage people to really fulfill their dreams more than they ever have. Go for it. Not go crazy, because some people can only imagine what's going on in the behind the scenes. But really fulfill, get on that plane, travel, do work with that charity. Whatever it is that your heart tells you to do it, do it. Because we, as I said, it's proven how life is just a blink of an eye, it could be taken.
That's so true, Renee, and thank you for that. That's really special, because it's true, we were complacent before. We weren't enjoying the things we should have been enjoying. The lockdown has raised so many important issues. It's made everyone reflect inwards, and hopefully we'll all come out better, kinder, stronger, more sense of community, and desperate to all get together and to hear you sing somewhere. I'd love to see that in person, and hopefully on the other side. And thank you so much, Renee, for that, for sharing your incredible life as an incredible singer. I love your voice. I hope it heals and gets better really soon, bless you, and inspiring us and women and men and children to follow and live their dreams on the other side. Thank you so much. The Influential Women's Podcast is founded and host presented by exec producer Nikki Bannerman and audio produced by Saffron Mirza. Please subscribe for free on all podcasting platforms to hear our real life stories out every other Tuesday.